After news, China's economic growth was its slowest since 1990. Stock markets go up in early trading. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. With today's gross domestic product figure for the last quarter, we can now say that the economy in China grew by 6.9% for all of last year. That is the slowest growth in 25 years. Yet, share prices in New York were up in early trading, with the Dow in the first half hour trading up about 100 points or two-thirds of 1%. Much of the blame has been laid at China's door for rocky share prices in the first couple of weeks of this new year. What might explain today? Economist Drew Mattis is at UBS.
I think it's probably a combo of two things. The first is Chinese growth was largely expected to slow. And the composition, though, still looked like China's transitioning to a service sector-driven economy, which is what the world wants to see. So sometimes there's a little bit of good news in what looks like bad news. And then secondly, contrary to popular belief, it's not all about China everywhere. There are growth concerns in the U.S. Not all of those concerns are China-related. We do have the energy story, which, from secondary features, you can get back to China from there, but it doesn't always work out that way. And so people are worried about the U.S. both because of China and then also because of other factors that have nothing to do with China.
Right, but what about today? The stock market's going up today.
In the current environment, things can be going up right now because China looked okay, and so that's a near-term positive, and then we just have to see how the rest of the day goes.
Drew Mattis at UBS, always good to talk to you.
Good speaking with you.
The Federal Reserve is considering new rules to limit how much people and institutions can borrow to pay for certain investments. It's called margin buying, and margin buying gone awry contributed mightily to the great stock market crash of 1929. Marketplace's Sabri Benishour has more.
People borrow money to buy cars. Investors, financial institutions borrow money to buy stocks or bonds. It's like making a bet with someone else's money. One way investors do this is what's called margin buying, where you put up some of your own stocks or bonds as collateral.
Like buying a house, somebody says you need 20% down and you can borrow 80%.
Stephen Cacchetti is professor at Brandeis International Business School. The Fed has the authority to regulate how much you have to put down.
So the goal of margin requirements is to keep things from getting out of hand.
Carl Tannenbaum is chief economist at Northern Trust. The Fed hasn't used that authority for 40 years, but it's going to start again and apply it more broadly.
It's worth a try.
Stephen Cacchetti again. He's a little skeptical because he says limiting one way financial institutions borrow money to make bets doesn't limit all the ways they can do so.
You can always find a way to borrow somewhere else.
The Fed may well work with other agencies to close off loopholes. It's already coordinating with 24 other countries, so globally regulators are on the same page. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
In Oakland, California, the boom in technology companies is causing a surge in spending for commercial real estate. The car service Uber, for instance, spent $123 million to buy an historic downtown building. Commercial lease activity is up 20% over last year as well. But these real estate companies are finding that their new clients have some different expectations than they're used to. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood reports from Oakland.
I've totally underestimated the evolution of office perks.
There will be snacks. There will be food you can order from the food artisans upstairs. There'll also be a yoga studio, a podcasting studio.
This is Joel Poole, CEO of The Port Workspaces. The company builds co-working offices throughout Oakland. Freelancers and small companies pay a couple $100 a month or more for space, and of course, for the free kombucha bar. This location in downtown Oakland used to be a department store. Poole is transforming the ground floor. He'll keep the escalators, but he's adding a basketball court, shuffleboard table, retro video games, and
there'll be a 500-square-foot, we call it a community hammock. It's made from aircraft wire.
Yep, a hammock. It's suspended from the ceiling, so it's perfect for meetings or maybe meditating.
This will be the slide that you descend from the hammock.
Slides are kind of a thing at the Port Workspaces and among the extras tech companies have come to expect around the office. But their expectations don't stop there. Salesforce will be the biggest tenant in the billion-dollar Salesforce Tower when it moves in 2017. For its investment, it'll get natural air pumped into every floor, extreme energy efficiency, tech-free zones, and flexible workspaces. But Salesforce has a 15-year lease. A lot of smaller tech companies aren't even sure they'll be around that long. Dan Harvey is vice chairman of CBRE, one of the world's biggest real estate firms. He says building owners...
they want 5-year, 10-year, 15-year leases. Well, tech companies don't move in cycles that are that long. They're thinking 90 days, 120 days, a year.
And he says commercial brokerages have to accept these new terms in order to get this new business. Want to see the culture clash in action? Check out the conference room at CBRE's San Francisco headquarters.
It has fabric on the wall. It has wood, kind of a dark, it's just a mahogany with books. So think of it as the library. You wouldn't see this in a Airbnb office.
The workplace of the future can take some getting used to. Take it from me. At a party at one of Joel Poole's co-working spaces, I got peer pressured into trying the signature slide.
Oh, God. I'm in it. Here I go. Oh, God. Oh, I am too old for this.
In Oakland, I'm Molly Wood for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.